If you're not awake this morning, if you weren't awake, I bet you are now. Amen? Let's say it that way. I will say this, though. If you are not awake to what is happening in our land today, it's time to wake up. It's time to get some coffee. It's time to drink a cup of truth and realize what's happening. Today is one of the most pivotal days in recent history. How we respond to the events of yesterday will determine what happens in the future. And every generation has moments like this. Believe it or not, there are people in the room who are not alive on 9/11. If you are not alive on 9/11, would you please raise your hand just so we can see? They are here. Yeah, the rest of you just don't want to admit it, right? You're here, or you were too young to even know what was happening in that day. That's another group that's in the room. Every generation has those moments. The assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan was one of those moments back in 1981. The assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. was one of those moments. The assassination of John F. Kennedy was one of those moments. I could go on. They are pivotal moments, and a nation must respond, and the church must be the one who leads in how we respond. It is on us to be the spiritual compass for the nation. Jesus said, we are salt and the light. We must respond in this moment. We cannot continue to dwell in the darkness, in the shadows, in fear, in uncertainty, in insecurity. We must be light. In each of those moments in our history that I mentioned, they were all coordinated efforts, strategic, plotted plans to bring an end to our nation, our strength, our freedoms, and our faith. And in recent generations or recent decades, most notably in recent years, I'm afraid the church has taken on the role of being the passive, quiet, silent, sit in the corner, do nothing voice. And because the enemy knows to have our nation, he must first have us. He has come after us. And I'm afraid he's winning in our nation because the church has fallen silent. The church has been emasculated. And it's time for the strong man to stand up. It's time for the church to rise up. It's time for us to shake off our slumber, rise up into our calling. So today, I want to speak to you on this subject, and my message has a very specific, targeted title. This is not political, this is spiritual. Amen? Churches have become terrified of speaking on political issues. The church has tried to play it easy. They feared that they might lose membership, that they might offend someone, and they have fallen silent. They have feared the government. Look, we can say all we want about government and politics, and we should. The only thing that we cannot do by law is promote a specific candidate or party. And you've not heard me do that here. And you won't hear me do that here. But what you will hear me do here is talk about truth and principles and how we are to vote based on truth and principles from God's word. And that'll give you some clue about which way we as believers ought to be voting. Amen? If you're offended already, you're either going to need to grow some thicker skin or just go see Roseanne out in the lobby. There is a spirit in our land today that is evil. And it is controlling what is happening in our land. I said spirit. I didn't say political party. I didn't say a person's name. I said spirits. Now, spirits find their ways into parties and people, but it is the spirit that we war against. That spirit wants to destroy our nation, a nation that began on the foundation of Jesus Christ. No wonder the enemy wants to destroy our land. He wants to destroy us because we have stood for truth and justice and freedom, liberty, and faith. And until recent decades, this nation has stood for God's word. Until recent decades, this nation has protected the church. And the church must recognize the reality that this enemy is not just at play, but is seated, positioned, and strategizing in halls of government, in halls of justice, in entertainment industry, the finance industry, and homes and states around this nation. We must recognize that. And the scripture is clear. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The people are not the primary focus, but the beliefs that they hold to are our great focus. Because this same verse says, but we do wrestle against principalities, evil spirits who reign over regions and groups in our land. The word principalities is the same word used for principles in the New Testament. And when you believe a set of principles that are contrary to God's word, then you open the door for evil principalities to take up residence. And that is what has happened in our land. We have believed principles that say God did not create this world. It just evolved on its own process. We have believed principles that say gender is fluid and up to you. We have believed principles that say the Bible can't be trusted, Christians are bigoted, babies can be aborted, capitalism is evil, there is no God, the only hope is government, Christians are a threat to the future, and those who hold the traditional values are a threat to the future of our nation. Those are principles being espoused in our world today and bought in our nation today, and because those principles are being believed, principalities have taken up residence. That's how it works. Principalities have no power until you believe the principles. That's why it's so critical what you believe. What you choose to believe in your home determines who comes in the door of your house. And if you talk a good game, but you get in your house and you believe a bunch of ungodly junk, if you refuse to acknowledge the truth of Scripture and live as Jesus is Lord, you're just opening your front door, back door, living room window, bedroom window for principalities to take up residence in your home. And they are, and they will. Oh, they're in your TV. They're in your phone, in your computer. And if you open the door to them, they'll come right on in. They love a welcome mat. In fact, they can't come in until you give them a welcome mat. So we must wrestle against principalities, against powers, forces that are at work in our world today. We are the ones called to fight against them, to resist them, to reject them, to call them out. We war against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Demonic forces that are at play in generations and geographic locations. The rulers of the darkness of this age, they are what we wrestle against. This is why we have taken such a firm, bold stand on God's word. Because when you believe truth, you shut the door to those rulers of the darkness of this age. But if you resist and play soft with truth, then you're playing soft with the rulers of the darkness of this age. If you're not living with Jesus as Lord of your life and God's word as the firm foundation for your life, then I already know what's happening. You're walking in addiction and frustration, and you're walking in depression, you're walking in anxiety because you have yet to fully consecrate your life to Jesus Christ and trust his word. We also war against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is a realm that is at play. I'll just go ahead and creep you out pretty good here. That realm exists in this room right now. There is an angelic realm that you and I cannot see. And in that realm, the angelic and the demonic exist. Well, you can't see it with your physical eyes. But when you walk by faith, you will see it with your spiritual eyes. You'll see it as it tries to attack you. You'll see it as it tries to take possession of your spouse and your children. You'll hear the voice. You'll recognize it. And we are called to do battle with it. We are called to be a people as Jesus followers who have a war mentality to us. I know there's times to be nice. I know there's times to be sweet. I know there's times to be kind. But there is also a time to take up your weapon and take up your cross and go to war. And this is what we as Jesus followers must know how to do. And the enemy has been slick and deceptive in convincing us that that is somehow wrong and that we must play the passive. We must play the backseat. We must play the soft, sweet only. We are called to wrestle. We are called to fight because these evil spirits are set on our destruction. I'll remind you again, this is not political. This is spiritual. Amen. I'm going to keep saying that today. Their playbook is the same as it has been for generations. Their goal is destruction, and their playbook is division. They want to create division. You know this because it happens in your home sometimes. All of a sudden, husband and wife are at odds with one another, and you're like, what in the world is happening here? Anybody in the room? It happens. The enemy is at play because he knows he can destroy what he can divide. He'll do it in a marriage. He'll do it in a family. He'll do it among Christian friends. And he's doing it in our nation today because some lies have been believed. Because some principles have been held on to, and some principles have invited principalities, and they're creating division in our land today. Tell me if you don't recognize this kind of division that's happening in our world today, division between the races. Do you sense it? Hello, it's obvious. That's the enemy who's causing that. That's his playbook. Create division, cause people to turn on one another. He's doing it between races. He's doing it between social groups. So that we despise one another, fear one another, doubt one another, turn against one another. He's doing it between economic groups in our world today. He's doing it between the rich and the poor. between the upper middle class and the lower middle class. Create division, create doubt, create dissension, cause them to turn against one another. He's causing it today between blue collar and white collar workers. He's causing it today between states, between cities, between communities, between people of faith, causing division. And he's doing it between political parties. This is his strategy, and it should not surprise us. It ought to be something we see with clarity and say, I see you, principality. I see you, spiritual host of wickedness. I see what you're doing, and I stand against it. I reject you. I will not bow to you and your principles. It's an old playbook. Jesus even said it in Mark 3. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. It's what the strategy is of the evil spirits in our land today. Create the division. Cause chaos. Cause confusion. Destroy a once strong nation. Replace God as Lord with government as Lord. Do you recognize that's what's happening in our land today? The replacement of a lead being Jesus Christ over our land to be replaced with government. So the government is the provider, the protector, the one who tells you what to do, what not to do. This is the work of the evil spirits. They want to medicate us, vaccinate us, shut down our churches, make the gospel criminal, remove our individual freedoms, remove individual protection and rights, take away the government that was once of the people, for the people, and by the people, and to make us into a nation where we are ruled by the government and controlled by the government. Evil spirits that have deceived an entire generation. So now they call righteousness evil. And they call evil good. This is not just a political party's strategy. This is the playbook of the enemy that is against God, against his people, and against freedom and faith. By the way, I want to remind you, this is not political. This is spiritual. These evil spirits have also done a number on the world today and people in our land because they are convincing people that the greatest threat to our future today is you and me. People that are church-going, freedom-loving, Christ-honoring, hard-working, honest, that we are the problem, that we are what is wrong with this land, that we are evil. Please do not think that the events of yesterday were focused on eliminating a person. They are focused on eliminating a much greater problem, us. We, they say, are the threat to the future of our nation. We, they say, are the greatest threat to democracy. And the ones they're going after now are only the beginning. The church will be next if they are allowed to continue. The words in the culture today have inflamed an entire mob that wants to see us imprisoned, that wants to see us silenced. And as horrendous and damaging as their words are, their work of evil has only lit a fire under the church and caused us to be ignited and revived and standing up in power. Amen? It's only ignited within us a desire to pray harder, more, to believe more deeply, to seek the Father. And let me be clear, God sees all that is happening today. God knows, and God hears the cries of His people. Your words, my words, are not wasted when we pray and ask God to move. He hears. The scripture gives us this promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, break the arrogance, break the self-reliance, break the fear of what other people think, break trying to just look good, and humble ourselves and turn to the Lord with full confident faith, unashamed of the gospel, unashamed of crying out to Him. If we will have that level of humility, where we're willing to acknowledge where we have been wrong, where we have not trusted, where we have had little faith, we'll get past our 21st century selfishness and arrogance and humble ourselves, then we'll begin to get down the road to what's left for us. Humble ourselves and pray. Pray. I don't mean just one prayer here on a Sunday morning, but that becomes your rhythm, your routine, your passion, where you pray in desperation. You pray with persistence and you pray believing. Humble ourselves, pray. And God says, seek my face. I mean, turn the priorities of your life to the point where you are seeking Him above anything else. You're not seeking your comfort anymore. You're not seeking your prosperity anymore. You're not seeking your own freedoms anymore. You're seeking His face. God, I must see and hear from You. This is priority. That we get to that place. God, I seek Your face, not just on a Sunday morning, but consistently. Not just once, but keep seeking until I found Him, until I heard Him, until I know what He's got to say to me. Don't pray once and seek His face and say, well, I got nothing. Get back at the door and keep knocking. Go back and keep seeking. He has the answer. But we're so quick to give up because it didn't work in our 1-2-3 world that we don't get there. It's time to get there. Humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways. If you want to see God move in this land, it's got to get downright close to home. You can put on a humble yourself here. You can put on a pray here. You can put on a seek my face here. But turn from your wicked ways. That just gets downright personal. That means you. Not the person next to you, not that other family member, but you, me, each one of us, that we acknowledge and we turn. We turn from what has been our pattern. God, I turn away from my own selfishness. I turn from hiding, fear, anxiety. I turn from all of that. It's a choice I make. I walk away from it. I turn from it. I turn from seeking what I want to turn to seek what You have. I turn to quit chasing my goals and turn to start chasing Your goals. And I turn away from the things that have kept me from that. I turn from the things that I've leaned into for my own enjoyment. Turn from those things. If we want to see God move, we got to do some turning. That means I'm going to turn away from alcohol. Let's just get all close up in here. I'm going to turn away from trusting in something else to give me a high that is a cheap substitute for the Spirit of God giving me a high. I'm going to turn from it. I'm not going to keep playing with it. I'm not going to try to keep dosing it. I'm not going to try to keep entertaining it. I'm turning from it. I'm turning away from pornography. I'm turning away from drugs. I'm turning away from vile language. I'm turning away from greed. I'm turning away from my own arrogance. I'm turning away from my own stubbornness. I'm turning away from my own self-seeking, my own self-protecting. I'm turning away from blaming everybody else. I'm turning away from judging everybody else. I'm turning away from small faith. I'm turning away from people-pleasing. I'm turning away from laziness. If we want to see God move in our land, we got to get all the way through this list and be turning from our wicked ways. Amen. Amen. And in case I hadn't told you, this is not political. This is spiritual. When we do this, God has promised He will heal our land. And He will. It's not a question of will He? It's the answer of He will. And just as God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, when they were enslaved, when they were oppressed, when they were mistreated, He heard their cries and He sent in a deliverer who brought them out into a land that was meant for them. This same God is still speaking today, still making promises today. And He makes this promise to us from Isaiah 59. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Amen. It's an important promise for you and I to hold on to. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, it's easy to panic. It's easy to let fear take over. It's easy to want to run. It's easy to want to give up. But the promise is to God's people is when that starts happening, when the enemy's coming over the wall, when they're coming in number greater than we can even count, when it seems like there's no victory for us, oh, God is faithful. And the Lord will begin to move when we cry out to Him. And here's what He says He will do. He will lift up a standard. He will raise it up. He will begin to raise up something that was not there before. He will lift up a standard. Now, I love this because this word for lift up here has with it the idea of God stirring something new, elevating, moving up, something that wasn't there before. And He begins to do this, and it is against the enemy. A fire begins to be lit, and God starts causing something to raise up, something that becomes a barrier, a wall that keeps back the enemy to protect God's people. Almost like those walls of water in the Red Sea that God raised up when the enemy was coming in like a flood. He raised up walls and God's people walked through, and those same walls became what crushed the enemy. But what I also love about this is that it says it's the Spirit of the Lord who does this. Very specific wording. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. He will cause a fire to be lit. Do you know? The answer is already yes. Do you know where the Spirit of God lives today? Yes, you do. The Spirit of God does not live in a room in these four walls somewhere. The Spirit of God has chosen to take up residence in you and me who believe in Jesus Christ. You and I have become the temples of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We are the place. We are the residing place on earth of the Spirit of God. It's not in elaborately built church buildings. The Spirit of God shows up in this place when you and I show up in this place. Because he's in us. So when the Spirit of the Lord starts raising something up, lifting something up, he does it where he is, and he is in us. And he starts raising up something in me and in you. That's why I asked you earlier today, do you sense the Spirit of God in this place? Do you sense peace? Do you sense presence? Do you sense power? Do you sense faith rising up in you? That is the Spirit of the Lord. And when you and I will listen and yield and give him everything, he will raise that up in you. And all of a sudden, you'll have new motivation that you hadn't had before, because that's the Spirit of God moving. And you'll say, let's go. I'm ready to do whatever you want, Jesus. That's the Spirit of God raising up in you. Hello. Yeah, that's right. And when he starts raising up, he'll say things like, I want you to seek me in my word. That's the Spirit of God welling up. And you said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to read the scriptures. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be obedient to what he has for me. Yes, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve other people. I'm going to love my family like Jesus does. I'm going to put away my wickedness, and I'm going to start walking in righteousness. Yes, that's the Spirit of God rising up in you. And you know why he's rising up in you? Because the enemy's coming like a flood, and he's calling on you and me to get fired up, get lifted up, get raised up, to pray against, speak against that enemy and what he lies and what he says, to say, not in my house, not in my church house, and not in my nation. Amen? Amen. So what a day. What a day to be the church of Jesus in America. Don't miss the moment. Don't miss what the Spirit is doing here. Don't miss what he's raising up in you, because you have a part to play. We must all get there together. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that you have chosen to place your essence, your heart, your heartbeat, your passion, your compassion, the very spirit of who you are. You have placed that in us. That is no small thing. Us who are sinners by birth, us who are just made of clay, us who can be weak, you've chosen to make us the place that your Spirit lives. So God, I thank you for that. That's only by grace. We certainly have no reason to deserve that. But Father, because your Spirit is within us, you are speaking and moving and raising up and calling and challenging and encouraging and showing us new faith and new hope and purpose. So today, we will listen to your Spirit. We will not deny it, dismiss it. We will not disobey it, but we will seek you. We will humble ourselves. We will turn from our wicked ways. And we will be your church in this generation, salt, light, ambassadors, messengers of reconciliation, those who hold forth the word of life, your church that you have vowed to protect, So much so that even if the gates of hell were to rail against us, they would not prevail. So God, I thank you for hope today. In the midst of the darkness, we will be your people, alive, awake, listening to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are you encouraged today? Yeah, amen. Me too. Me too. We will, we'll see. We'll see what happens over this next week. And we will listen to the Spirit of God. We will walk in obedience. My plan is we'll get back to our series, Real Family Matters. But we'll see. We'll see what God does this week. You pray. I'm praying. And we will walk together through what God has for us. Amen? Hey, let's stand together. I say this every week, but the words that we live by here as Vertical Church, lift him up and live him out, they just become more palpable and more powerful every week. We are not just lift him up, see ya. We are lift him up and live him out. Amen? Let's do this today. Let's lift him up and...